Gary, there are some significant touchstone, milestone moments that happen in your life, right? Graduating high school, graduating college, getting married, having kids, and getting to that point where someone says that you look like an older Christina Milian, even though Christina Milian is 2 years older than you.
Elle, congratulations on being recognized as a glowing beauty yet still youthful,
Sure. Well, no,
but
they
mature,
said I,
but mature, but mature.
yeah, they said I looked like an old Christina Milian, but Christina Milian is in fact older than me. So
So
I
who
actually,
we fighting?
this was someone that I met while I was at my travels for the ACC Championship.
Okay.
And he meant it in the nicest of ways. But let me tell you, people always mean things in nice ways. I am like the queen of receiving backhanded compliments. So I know he thought that that was a huge compliment. And I was saying like, oh, you look like Christina Milian. But in fact, I knew that it was not because I knew she was older than me. I also have been in a room with Christina Milian when someone told her, people say that Elle looks like you. And she gave me like the very polite, like up and down and was like, really?
Just disgusted.
Like,
If I may play devil's advocate here, because I think for the listening and the viewing audience who are familiar with Christina Milian, we all know as a collective that she really hasn't been, relevant is too harsh of a term, but like she hasn't really been in the public sphere like that since the early 2000s. So what this person was saying was that you remind them of an early 2000s Christina Milian with a touch more esteem.
oh,
So
yeah.
I'm reading this as a forward-facing compliment. Congrats to you.
Yeah. Christina Milian, I can tell you because I follow her on Instagram, still looks exactly the same as she did in those early 90s. And she's been in the public sphere. She hosts The Voice and she does some things like that. So, but
Oh,
yes, listen.
okay.
Listen, it remains a compliment to me despite the backhandedness, and it remains an insult to her. I certainly wasn't going to fight the person. We saw so much testiness in sports this weekend. I mentioned that I was at the ACC Championship in Greensboro. Shout out to Notre Dame, who beat NC State to win the conference title, their first time since 2019. So, with Neil Ivey as their coach, it's their first championship. Great girls. They worked really hard. We love it. But about 3 hours up the road, it was going down in Greenville. And South Carolina women's basketball, you know, for you sort of peripheral fans or listeners or viewers, is like if whatever you knew about UConn back in the day in terms of their just consistent dominance, that has now transferred over to South Carolina. Obviously, there's a lot more parity that's happening in women's basketball right now, which makes it even more impressive that this team has lost one game in like 735 days. I mean, they're just, and it's a totally different team. Their biggest competitor, rival, of course, is LSU. That has been that way, especially as LSU has become a bit of a perennial powerhouse themselves with Kim Mulkey. They don't like each other. LSU, of course, the reigning national champ. South Carolina still the favorite to win it all this year, like they were last year, like they were the year before. They don't like each other. It's a good old-fashioned SEC rivalry because it just means more, Gary. And it culminated yesterday in the SEC championship game with a bit of a brawl situation.
Little
So
bit.
picture me leaving the ACC championship, sitting in a Greensboro airport with a bunch of ESPN crew, and we're watching this game at this bar, and I'm all up in the TV, like, what's going down and what's happening? So Camila Cardoso, you guys, is a 6'7" center from Brazil, from South Carolina. She plays for her Brazilian national team. She was definitely in the conversation for SEC Player of the Year that did, of course, end up going to Angel Reese. And Camila is the sweetest person on earth, Gary. She's really sweet. I've had the pleasure of meeting Camila many times. She's quite quiet. She's a little bit shy. And she's a gentle giant, if you
Yeah.
will. And we saw her push Flauge Johnson, who pushed Ashlyn Watkins, Camila Cardoso's teammate. And Camila had had enough. Now, the internet is going crazy because, there's videos now coming out of like, why would Camila snap? Anybody that knows Camila knows this ain't her, right? Camilla's hair was getting pulled during the game. It was a situation that really, she was getting some tugs on the hair. There's video evidence of Angel Reese grabbing her hair. She has a beautiful long mane, ponytail.
I thought that was a no-go zone.
Yeah, you're not listening.
I thought the hair was off limits regardless. I thought it was family, kids, wives, husband's hair.
Correct. Like, especially us sisters, you don't grab hair, right? Like, yes, is it technically part of the uniform? Fine. You're not supposed to grab hair. This is not football, right? Like, you're not tackling anybody. So that got to her and eventually manifested itself in her, you know, in the wrong way, hitting back, if you will. Oh. She had enough.
I'm stopping you right there.
Okay.
Completely in the right way. I am all 100% Team Cardozo on this one because of the chain of reactions. And you were mentioning how that she's a gentle giant. She's quiet. She's not going to strike first. But it did stem from not just Watkins getting pushed, but this was also after Flauje Johnson got her cookies taken. So this was like a three-step process that Cardozo really saw manifest itself right before her eyes. And then that forearm shiver to Watkins' throat. Listen, you got it. You got to be 10 toes down.
Yeah.
All right. For the teammates, for the homies. And I am all for Cardozo being like, oh, really? You want to pick a fight with us?
Yeah.
How about me? I'm all about it.
Yeah, this was definitely an F around and find out situation.
Yes.
I ain't no punk situation.
Correct.
And I'm with it. I think that certainly, especially for your team. Now, the downside was what Don mentioned afterwards, that all of the players that were ejected, six players were ejected for leaving the bench, including Camilla, which means that Camilla is going to end up having to miss the first game of the NCAA tournament. Now, South Carolina is going to be the number one team. They're going to play the worst team in the tournament. They should be able to beat them without Camilla. They've had to play without her this year when she went to play for her national team. But I'm with it. Like, I'm with the idea that you let your teammates know nobody's going to with us, you know? And and LSU ain't no punks either, right? Like, Flauje's not a punk. Flauje's family is about that life. We saw her, what was first reported to be her uncle, then it was her brother, run onto the court. This is where I have my issue. Because we're talking about being 10 toes down. Like, I'm going to defend my family. I'm going to defend my teammates. But what was you going to do? What were you going to do, Flauje's brother? You were going to come attack a 20-year-old girl? Like, what exactly were you going to do in that situation? Because even though she had the same, you know, Camilla took Flauje down, there was no fighting. It wasn't a melee. This wasn't the Malice at the Palace. Everybody was doing the typical sort of posturing and walking around. Like, this wasn't a situation that escalated for you to need to fly out of the stands in just an instant. I mean, he was ready to go, got a loaded gun, cock it and pull it. Like, he was ready.
Yeah,
and
he
so
was.
So were the cops. And so were the cops. Gary.
Yo, the reaction time on that police officer was some stuff that GMs and sports executives would be like, why can't we find players like that? Which we are going to dive into in terms of that cop, right place, right time, doing his jobs. When across the sporting world over the last couple of days, we've seen a lot of people in our sphere not simply do their jobs. I think it's hilarious, though, that Cardozo was the only player who was actually playing that got ejected, and then it was five other bench players. Like, yo, listen, hey, if I can't get action on the court, I'm going to get this action one way or another. That was pretty hilarious to me. What was more shocking to you? Cardozo's reaction, knowing the person that she is, and you've worked with her, and obviously you're familiar with her during your time down there in Columbia and working around South Carolina, that instance from her, or the semifinal game the day before, her hitting her first ever three-pointer ever. And she's a senior. She's taken two. She's only made one. And it was at the buzzer to win the game to keep the perfect season intact.
Yeah, and the one that she attempted before that, she wasn't even a member, is before she came to South Carolina. So I asked Don about this on game day, because the same thing. I mean, we're watching this, and, you know, full disclosure, you guys, when we're building a rundown for a show that's going to happen, that's going to be a big show with a lot of moving parts, we have to project a little bit, okay? South Carolina is undefeated this year. We projected that they were going to beat a Tennessee team that, frankly, is fighting for their bubble lives, right? Like, they are firmly on a bubble. And we went ahead and built this show around South Carolina and LSU being in the SEC championship. We had already got it planned that we were going to, you know, reach out and try to talk to Dawn Staley on the show. Like, all of this was already planned. And so when it looked like Tennessee was going to not only pull the upset of the year off, but also blow up our freaking rundown, we've never cheered harder for that. We were all go Cox. I mean, there were so many go Cox in that meeting room. And when Camilla
also during the game too, right?
That's so many, always.
Just outside the, okay. Okay.
It's the only time you're hearing about Cox at a women's basketball game.
Hey! I mean, well, you're already talking about testiness, so I was like, where are we going with this?
and so she pulls up and banks that in, and we all go nuts. And the thing is that Andrea Carter, our fantastic colleague, noted right away was Camilla practices these things. Like Dawn has her bigs practice these at practice, which is why she felt comfortable with her doing it. She doesn't need her to pull it typically, but Dawn explained exactly why. Because I asked her that question. You're 6'7" center that's never made a freaking basket, a three-point basket, and you ask her to put the SEC championship on the line, and this is what she said.
But I have been itching to ask you this. Your team's down by two. You need some miracle to happen. And you tell your 6'7" center that has never made a three-pointer in her college career to pull that mofo. How come why?
I mean, Powell just had a really hard time. Tennessee did a great job on Powell, just covering her up, just making her feel somebody in her space, like for 40 minutes. And I just felt like Camilla would be the logical choice because I knew she would be most open. And the way that we came out of the timeout, she was like deep in the paint. I did tell Camilla, I said, Raven, pass it to Camilla at the top. And I said, Camilla, hit Powell. And I'm looking up, I'm like, it's 1.1. There's no time for all of that. They're guarding Powell. And I was like, Camilla, shoot it. Shoot that. Mother, watch your mouth.
Yo, and Tennessee was not, I mean, and deservedly so. They have the scouting report. They gave her damn near 20 feet of distance. They had plenty of time to throw a body out there, or at least charge and attempt to put a body on her. But they were just like, nah, we good.
And then they weren't.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else with the AC story, because of course she played at Tennessee, and I don't know if she was distraught, if she was crying, if she was like, guys, I can't do this show. Y'all going to have to do this one without me. But obviously Andrea Carter, consummate professional.
She was a little bit bummed, but also was like, I don't want to sit here and redo this entire show. I mean, you know, at some point, the professional part of you kicks in and you're like, you know, I want to make this as seamless as possible for television. But going back to the LSU and South Carolina game, I think it was so interesting, sort of the dichotomy of the responses from the coaches, because immediately, right, Dawn went one way with her team's role in the fight, and Kim Mulkey went the total and opposite way. We had peace and trying to calm and quell a situation. We had full accountability. And on the other side, we had, let's put them just inside of a ring and let them go. Listen to both.
You know, I just want to apologize to the basketball community. You know, when you're playing in championship games like this, in our league, things get heated. No bad intentions. They just try, their emotions got so far ahead of them that sometimes these things happen. So I want to apologize for us playing a part in that, because that's not who we are and that's not what we're about. But I'm happy for the players that were able to finish the game and get us another championship.
No one wants to see that ugliness, but I can tell you this. I wish she would have pushed Angel Reese. Don't push a kid that you 6'8". Don't push somebody that little. That was uncalled for, in my opinion.
Bruh, Dawn's like, I'm sorry. This is not us. This is not reflective of who we are. And we are so sorry for this. Kim was like, I wanted her to pick on someone bigger so that we could have watched real fireworks. It's an interesting approach.
L, I love Kim Mulkey's position. Maybe I'm in the minority of this, but we always laud and applaud teams for being the embodiment of a coach, or maybe vice versa. So we have to take that Kim Mulkey sound and also trickle it down to what the players are saying. Angel Reese afterwards be like, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, we are not scared of South Carolina. We do not care that they're South Carolina. And in as many words, Kim Mulkey basically said the same thing. And understanding that it was Flaje Johnson being the instigator, it was South Carolina who effectively got caught, right? The second man always gets caught. They're the ones who get the flag thrown on them. Obviously, Camila Cardoza coming to her team's defense is what actually was caught, and that's what the benches clearing brawl were. But LSU, we can't pretend like this hasn't been LSU's bravado, their brash identity for the last couple of years under Mulkey, with Angel Reese and Flaje Johnson sort of being the centerpieces of that team.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely part of it. That's why it's such a fun rivalry, because it's
correct.
Nobody's getting picked on either side, right? Like, yeah. They're both brash and unapologetically themselves. They're all the things that, like, I love seeing in women, because we've always been taught, at least my generation was always taught, to sort of, you know, show just embarrassing amounts of humility, and to, you know, it's all about sportsmanship. And
yeah.
I don't think that showing bravado, yelling, being testy, I don't think any of those things are a lack of sportsmanship. I think it speaks to the idea, just like we applaud with men, about how hard they work, about how competitive they are, about how those things give you an edge. Some people need that, some people don't. But like, I love the idea that we've got girls that are, you know, not scrapping, but girls that are like sticking up for themselves and being physical and being strong and showing that they're all of those things, because it's absolutely true. For so many years, it was like talking about the women's basketball game. It was like the finesse, the fundamentals. These girls are dogs out here in the best possible way. And so I think that South Carolina and LSU, a lot of these girls are from the same place. Some of them have known each other for a long time because they're in the same recruiting pool in the South. And so these things run very deep. Whatever you think just happened yesterday on that court started a long time ago for some of these girls. So I'm super into it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I do wonder, though, as we talk about some of the other fights that were going down, how John Shire approaches the Cameron crazies, because of course Duke and UNC goes down.
Yep.
And UNC is taunting the crazies, as you get to do when you beat your bitterest rival on their home court. And the crazies started throwing drinks at them. How do we feel about that, Gare Bear? Interest of wanting to keep player safety top of mind.
And obviously this is, we have 2 weeks ago, all right, Shire being like, look at the madness. How are we protecting people? Filipowski getting his knee hurt. And then the trip that he says he didn't know was a trip. Listen, I am all for players and coaches talking cash shit. But when that pot starts calling the kettle black, I think that's what the saying is. I want to hear nothing. Listen, everybody knows that Duke has the reputation of being hated, the vitriol towards the school, towards the student body, the crazies, the players. They have that badge for a reason. So instead of trying to deflect and run away from it and acting holier than thou, man, I need you to embrace that shit, John Shire. Yeah, your players are throwing stuff on the court. Everybody can see that. So don't be like holier than thou when we're outside of the confines of Cameron Indoor. But when we're in, you know, in there, it's like, oh, let's turn a blind eye. No, hell no. You get the same treatment at the Dean Dome that you get at Cameron Indoor, and I love it. Now, Kyle Filipowski talking about, oh, he didn't feel the trip, he didn't see the player on a fine. That was such bullshit.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that, Gary, after the break, because he's definitely tripping. He comes from a long line of,
that's crazy.
Even though you saw exactly what I did, you didn't see what I did. I don't even know what I did. That is coming up on the L Duncan Show, as well as do your freaking job or not. Stick around.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the L. Duncan Show with Gary Streisky.
That's us.
We always like to do our job, and we do it, damn Correct. It. We do our job, not always well, but we do it. We show up. We do what we need to do to survive. And some cases, we've seen people, at least this weekend, really do their job to an excellent degree. We have, yes. I don't know if you have like a colloquial term, but like in the Black community, when someone's just like overdoing their job, when they're just like trying too hard at a job that just doesn't feel like they should be trying that hard at, we call them top flight security.
Oh.
This is someone that's like, this is from Friday, the movie Friday, where it's just just like doing the most. You don't need to be doing all this. You're just like, it's extra. Just recognize the magnitude of the job and then meet the moment there. But how do we feel about the cop that jumped in with Olympic level accuracy and speed to stop Flage's brother from joining a fracas with a bunch of young women?
Again, this police officer, Greenville's finest, I can only presume, his reaction time, all right, his ability to see, read, react, hop over a literal obstacle, which was the scorer's table, to quickly apprehend what we know now is a family member of the pushed Flage Johnson. So it's just a brother coming to the defense of his sister. Obviously, this guy doesn't have situational awareness. Like, your sister's going to be fine. This is a contained environment. Police officer doesn't know that. All right. Police officer answers the call of duty. He doesn't need any other details other than knowing that guy is not supposed to be on that court. Let me go apprehend him. I'll be cordial. All right. I'll be civil about this matter, but not on my watch.
Yeah.
I love it. This guy was doing his job. This guy could suit up for Bill Belichick any day, except
he
not
doesn't
any
have
day,
a job.
Except not any day in the future, because Bill Belichick doesn't have a job to give him. But
this guy could meet Bill Belichick at the football fields and they correct. Can run drills in their spare time.
He could be. He's a Belichick disciple, is what I'm trying to say. Nice. He did his job, L.
Yeah, he did his job. All right, that's good. I do have to give a shout out to someone that I think personally did not do their job. That would be the gate attendant. As I was coming home, I'm sorry. I have a rollaway bag, and I have a backpack on, and then I literally had the equivalent, Gary, of what was a fanny pack. It's this big. And he's like, ma'am, I'm going to need you to step aside and I'm going to need you to condense those two bags. I'm like, bro, this could technically fit in my pocket. He's just like, ma'am, step aside. So I personally think top flight security, you were doing too much. But I do appreciate that you are a stringent follower of the two bag rule. So thank you for that. I hope that you feel better, that you saved lives with your heroic efforts and work.
L, I must say, the airport is not a place where you want to try to get away with exceptions. All right, L, there are stringent rules in place.
I know. Someone got arrested on my plane.
Damn.
Yeah.
For what?
When we were leaving to go to Greensboro, it's like 6:30 in the morning here in Hartford. And he, you can tell he's like really, really, really sauced. And he's wearing like Balmain sweatpants, a Louis hat, a Gucci jacket. Like, he's that guy. It's like he's a label hoe. And like, it's not quiet luxury. He wants you to know. It's just like plastered on his body. And, you know, they call first class and I start walking to go to, you know, to go to the thing. And he's like, oh, first class. Ooh, I see you, Miss First Class. I'm going to see you on the plane. I was like, this guy is so wasted. I thought for sure they would flag him and be like, he's not getting on any plane. What happened, I think, is he flew standby. I think he was sauced from the night before, probably missed his flight, showed up drunk to the airport. And so he started like harassing an older gentleman who was just there with his wife on the plane. He's like sitting in the middle seat between them, like harassing them. And so, you know, we land in Atlanta and they're like, everybody sit down, you know, like they're being more like tense, terse than usual.
Yeah.
They're like, sir, we are not at the gate. I need everyone to remain seated. Like they really are getting chesty with it. And sure enough, as soon as they open that door, two state policemen come on the plane and they get him off. And like, he's like, ooh, state policeman. I mean, he's still doing
it. This guy was just at the chuckle hut. He just thought everything was what is also funny is the way you described it. There's the TikTok trend right now that everybody's posting. Actually, it's been on for a while, but like dripped up head to toe, got the Louis V, got the Gucci, got the Balmain, headed to 34J.
Right. You know what I'm going nowhere.
I got all this designer, and then everybody in the comments like got there at the same time as first class. Seats are temporary, but the drip is forever.
Yeah.
So I can literally picture this man.
There was, right now. Just sitting right in the middle in the back. Okay. In Maine, in economy. So those police officers definitely did their job. That man did not need to be on any more flights harassing any more people. Okay, I feel like someone did not do their job well here.
Yikes.
We've heard of, you know, people being fired in various ways, especially in the sports sphere. This one was interesting, though. Utah State head coach Kayla Ard, she went to go do her press conference after her team had just lost. And, well, she had this to say when they asked her about rebuilding for the future.
And how do you plan to rebuild for next season?
I'm not going to be rebuilding. I just coached my last game at Utah State. I spoke with Diana, and they're going in a different direction, and I respect her decision, and I hope they get a really good coach in. I'm assuming that's going to be the last question.
Okay, wait a minute. This was amazing. She got fired, and she still showed up for her press conference. Like, I think
that's crazy.
So did she do that because did someone not do their job because they fired her before she barely could leave the court, or did someone not do her job because they didn't immediately make sure she didn't go up on a podium and represent the team? Because that also feels weird.
Sort of all encompassing, right? And I'm trying to find any little area that I can pick and poke and prod into this story being like, justice for Kayla Ard. And then I saw Utah State's record this season, 5-25, and I was like, damn, they waited this long? Utah State waited till the Mountain West tournament to fire her, and they got smoked by Boise State. This is a failure at many degrees, L, because she did get fired right before she took the podium. Bad look for Utah State's athletic director being like, hey, you're fired, but finish this up. You got to finish your shift if you want to get paid for a full day's work. But then also, L, the assembled media was too stunned to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, and we know the Mountain West tournament and Utah State, they'll have their beat riders following them around. And, you know, you have some other riders that maybe don't follow the team as intensely and intently as their actual home media. But there was not a singular follow-up to the news that she just broke for everybody. Like, y'all, I just got fired. This is one rung above Craig getting fired on Friday on his day off for stealing boxes.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? She got fired during her shift, mid-shift.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, she really did. I mean, at least, you know, our producer Jackson is right. At least wait until the tarmac like USC did with Lane Kiffin, right?
That's
like
right.
That way it's just like, you know, it's not right before you go and address the media. And then lastly, Gary, this was one of your your favorite moments of the weekend. Walk us through someone not doing their job.
First and foremost, the Houston Rockets have no business, beating the Sacramento Kings right now. The Kings are a good team. The Rockets simply aren't, but they got a win yesterday. But at what cost? All right, their center, Alperen Şengün, tasked with stopping Domantas Sabonis, the walking double-double, who, by the way, he got another double-double, 46th straight double-double this season. Waning minutes in the fourth quarter. Şengün landing awkwardly, on this right knee. And I don't know if we're covering me up with VO or if I'm just describing this, but it looks like he hyperextends his knee. And big man fall hard. All right, he's on the court writhing in pain for minutes to the point and extent that they have to bring out the wheelchair. All right, they're not going to get this guy off on his own accord. This guy's down bad, all right? The arena is hush with quiet because this guy, that's a knee injury, man. That could be bad. Everybody watching intently, get this man safely off the court. Everybody knows the severity of this injury. Mm-hmm. Everybody except a member of the Houston Rockets training staff who was like, yo, Al Perron, you need a towel?
As he's being wheeled out, head sunk low, like the guy's like in tears. It's so sad. And then he just gets a towel to the gut.
Head in hands, spread eagle. And this guy, he saw him coming from the opposite baseline and was like, I think this is a good time to toss a towel right into his crotch. And then as soon as he comes into frame, he's like, oh, my bad. Where were you, sir? The last 10 minutes of stoppage.
Correct.
When Şengün was just on the court writhing in pain.
Maybe he wasn't out there. Maybe he thought we had another Paul Pierce situation and he wanted to cover up his crotch to hide everybody from like the examination of whether it was poo. You know what I mean?
No, that's a good call, because the Rockets, I think, were in white. So that would have been a stark contrast,
right?
If there was a little bit of dew, if there was a touch of dew on the shorts. So no, that's a good observation. But L, that's just two examples, the latter examples of people simply not doing their job.
Well done. We always do our job, which is why we take full accountability and culpability when we up. Because unfortunately, when we up, it's on camera and like there's not really any denying it. However,
it happens often.
That's never stopped some people, including Kyle Filipowski. When we come back on the L. Duncan Show, we'll tell you why he comes from a long line of Duke. I didn't do it. What are you talking about? Players. Stick around.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We back. We be tripping. I wonder if it's like, you know how like whenever they talk about like longstanding blue blood programs, it's like you want to get these players that like believe in like what we're doing here, that believe in sort of the mantra of the program. I wonder if like part of evaluating Duke players is seeing if they're good trippers. Because like mm-hmm. they really do some extracurricular activities. Of course, Grayson Allen, the king of it. We had several incidents when he was a Dukie of him doing that. Christian Laettner, you know, doing the mm-hmm. same. And now the latest Dukie, Kyle Filipowski, who 100% was involved in tripping this man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And says, I didn't do it to Harrison Ingram. I didn't even realize. I was just getting up. I didn't know where he was. I have no idea what you're talking about. That ain't me. But the evidence is on the tape, Gary. And what do you see as you watch this video of Kyle Filipowski quite literally putting his leg up in the air as Harrison Ingram jumps over him?
L, they made an awkward amount of direct eye contact before Harrison Ingram ran directly in Filipowski's path. All right, the video doesn't lie. All right, we don't need the Zapruder film to break this thing down to see that Filipowski, all right, he was eyes locked on the baseline. He saw this Tar Heel gallivanting his way. Nobody gets up by swinging their leg
in the air.
like they're pissing like a dog.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like nobody does that. Nobody lets it air out that high and heavy just to stand up. All right. I would appreciate, because everybody who goes to Duke knows you're going to Duke and you're automatically going to be a villain. You're a heel. You're hated.
Mm-hmm.
I need for them to embrace that better. Grayson Allen did. Okay, and that's what made him a good heel. But you can't live on this fence of like, I know the reputation I'm going to get when I'm at Duke is going to be bad and people are going to hate me. but I have this outward woo is me. No, that's not my playing style. No, that's not my fault thing when the mic is in front of you. Don't need it. Can't have it. Need winners.
I just think the audacity, Gary, that again, this is a team that 2 weeks ago was like, arrest yes. everyone for player safety.
Yes.
I'm not going to say faked a knee injury. I'm just going to say we didn't know what the injury was. It was a moving target. He was fine. Didn't miss any time. And then you quite literally are caught tripping someone. That can really hurt somebody. I mean, he fell.
Correct.
He fell. Like if he, you Correct. Know what I mean? Like that's actually legitimately intentional that you hit him or that you tripped him. And I'm interested to see, you know, at the time it wasn't called a foul or a flagrant or anything like that, but I'm interested to see if the commissioner, Jim Phillips, who was at the ACC tournament for the women yesterday, by the way, so needed maybe a minute to take a look at that. We'll look at that and see if there will be any consequences or repercussions. But he follows in a long line of athletes that tell us one thing, despite what all the evidence is saying to the contrary. And I thought That's about, right. do you remember the 2016 Olympics? Do you remember Ryan Lochte, right? He claimed that he and his teammates were robbed at gunpoint. And it was like this international scandal, like, you know, oh my God, we already think that like Brazil's not all that safe. And now our sweet American, red-blooded Americans are getting attacked in the Olympics. And it turns out he was just like super fucking wasty and they vandalized a gas station bathroom and they were trying to cover for it.
I do remember that. And I think if that happened any time in recent history, it would be some international incident to divide even more. Right. So I am glad that this is something that we can look at as but a footnote nearly a decade ago when Ryan Lochte was America's sweetheart. I mean, that guy was... Listen, hey.
Wait, he was never America's sweetheart. That was Michael Phelps. He was the anti-Michael Phelps, and that's why people liked him. He was like the douchey, weird, goofy, say-anything anti-hero. Like, that's what he
was. The lights were on, but nobody was home. He's Gronk. he's basically a Gronk who could swim.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And people ate that up.
But not nearly as endearing. I think Gronk's much more endearing than Ryan Lochte.
That's a good. But then Ryan Lochte, after the Olympics, he went on the assumed and the predictable reality TV train for the next couple of years. You got to maximize. You got to maximize that, and he did.
He definitely did. Britney Spears tried to minimize when she accused Victor Wembanyama's bodyguard of physically assaulting her. This comes out, right? Like, I'm just a big fan of Wimby, which is also cap. I do not believe that Britney Spears knows who Victor Wembanyama is.
Correct.
I don't think she could name 5 NBA players, but what do I know? Maybe she's a huge NBA fan. Maybe she stops dancing for like 5 minutes and watches NBA. I don't know. But when it came out that his bodyguard physically assaulted her and knocked her down, everyone was like, oh, poor Britney, she's always being attacked, this poor girl, she's such a victim. And then the video came out and like at best he like moved her hand away briskly because she tried to reach out and touch Victor Wembanyama. I think
Correct.
You could have put that man in, do your job, and he did it well. You're not supposed to walk up and touch him, and that's on the bodyguard to prevent that from happening, and he did.
That's a fact. Plus Victor Wembanyama, I mean, the dude was, what is he, 19? I don't think that he would know who Britney Spears
probably not
is.
Yeah.
Or was.
Yeah.
He's like, who's this crazy woman in Las Vegas, man? All these crazy women in Vegas.
Yeah.
I don't think that he would have known who she was, which is actually kind of sad for us because that just means we're getting old.
Getting old. Yeah.
Like a seasoned
Christina Milian. Yeah, correct. Like an old. I'm younger than her. He was young at the time, but have we ever forgiven Justin Bieber for peeing in the mop bucket, right? Back in 2013, remember that? And he was peeing in a mop bucket. And initially they were like, that didn't happen. Like he didn't disrespect the hockey locker room or the this or the that. There was always like, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. And then the video was dropped of him, in fact, peeing in the mop bucket. And it was like, my bad.
Oh, that's crazy. Okay, I'm probably not going to Google it. I'm just going to take your word for it. I don't recall this one. I do remember though, when Justin Bieber was a villain. And he made quite the turn.
He really
did. He really is now like universally liked. People rock with him. I think people enjoy his music. People enjoy that he mellowed out and he isn't as much of an a-hole. I don't know. I've never met the guy. But he did a good job of turning that image around.
He really did. I mean, I remember many times there was people asking if we could like deport them back to Canada.
Yes,
like if
yes.
there was, yeah, there was a lot of that wanting to see if we could make trades. Like, can we get Ryan Gosling to be an American?
You Correct. Guys
can have Bieber back. So that definitely happened, and he did. He made a big turnaround. I mean, he matured. Like, he was,
yes,
you know,
correct.
Listen, the kid was super uber famous at like 10 years old. You know, I can't even imagine what it's like navigating that. I would say that for the most part, he has navigated it pretty well. If some of the worst stuff you've done is just like some relatively douchey things, like,
yes.
I think you've come out pretty good. The same can't be really said for Jussie Smollett. That's the greatest one of all time. Just saying he was a victim of a hate crime back in Chicago in 2019, right? But then surveillance footage came out and suggested that he had orchestrated the whole thing, hired these dudes that he worked with on his show on Empire. I don't know, you know, there's rumors that he did it because he was getting written off and he wanted to be back in the public space and sphere.
That's right,
he wanted
that's
a big
right.
story. But the whole thing had so many holes from the beginning. I mean, right away when the story came out, my husband Omar looked at me and he was like, so I'm confused. So they watch Empire and they're in downtown Chicago.
First
and
red
they're
flag.
Also MAGA. Like, he was like, I don't understand. He was like, that doesn't feel like a real person. I don't know anyone that like makes up those three things. And then the other thing that was a red alert was, bruh, so he had a noose put around his neck and then he just walked blocks with it around his neck to the police station. Like, he didn't just like your first inclination as a black man is to like not immediately take the noose.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just all felt very weird and fabricated. And it turns out, at least according to the police and a court of law, that it was. He still stands on it, though. That's not true. I didn't make this up. But he's dying on that hill. He is still saying didn't happen.
Damn, that's crazy. Well, I'm glad that you itemized that because I sort of paid attention to the story, but leave it to Omar with the inquisitive mind that he has.
Like, what?
To take a look at the evidence, okay? To take a look at the facts that were in front of us or the purported facts and dissect them. And by way of that, not come up with a theory, because a theory is not evidence-based, but come up with a more substantial hypothesis, which is a evidence-backed opinion. So good on Omar.
Yeah, yeah. He was like,
I should have gone to him first.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, right away, it just seemed like there were some plot holes in that. And then lastly, our producer threw this one in here. I don't know how much in the pop culture world you got in with this one, but Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, when they were making A Star Is Born, everyone said they were hooking up, even though they were both with other people. And she thinks that this doesn't exactly fall into the video evidence. I suppose if you watch the movie, they were supposed to have chemistry. But yeah, she was all into that. By the way, did you watch the Academy Awards last night?
I saw the highlights, which were which lacked a lot of clothing from one John Cena.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Those are some
that's
gains.
About it.
Yeah, you would. The one thing that Gary saw was the naked man, of course.
Well,
it's right on brand, Gary.
It's the clip that circulated and went viral. And I just so happened to have to do a little bit of zooming in. And I was like, this guy's definitely on creatine at the bare minimum. At the bare minimum, my guy is on gear.
That's bare.
Why?
Minimum.
Did I miss something else?
He didn't have a single. Well, I thought that the moment of the night was I'm Just Ken being sung by Ryan Gosling. And this is just a reminder as we get ready to say goodbye on the L. Duncan Show. Because you're done listening or watching this, I encourage you, if you're surprised by the amount of showmanship and swag that Ryan Gosling showed in that way, just Google Ryan Gosling Mickey Mouse Club Jodeci and enjoy, okay? This man sang Jodeci and he sang it well and he moved when he was like 12. You're welcome and enjoy.
But be careful, because he was 12.
Okay. All right. Well...